Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matambo.
Afternoon, Brother Zama. How have you been?
I've been good, man. Cannot complain. How have you been?
I've been okay. We thank God also this side.
Lovely. Oh, great stuff, man. Great to hear from you. Now, you know, we're continuing to talk about this discussion that we had yesterday. And we spoke about the verse yesterday, John 13:35. By this all men shall know that you're my disciples if you'll have love for one another. It's actually it's a call to action and a defining characteristics of the followers of Christ. It emphasizes, you know, that genuine love, especially for each other, is the primary way, you know, that the world can recognize true discipleship. Now, Pastor, how can unbelievers identify true love and even the attribute to discipleship? How do they even know what discipleship is all about? I mean, who Christ is. I mean, this verse says that they shall know that you are my disciples. How are they going to know that?
Okay. I think you have already alluded to our answer. And it's in John 13, verse 34 to 35. As you have said, the way we love one another, it is going to tell the world that we are disciples of Christ.
Do they even know who Christ is?
Yes. By the way, the world knows who Christ is.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Okay. Most of them, they know. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out that they know, let's take a scenario of a Christian who makes a mistake.
Okay. Pastor Matambo. Hello, Pastore. What's happening now? Pastor. All right, it does seem that we definitely have a challenge there with our line to the pastor. We're going to be seeing if we can actually get a hold of him back so that we can actually have this discussion. Probably line issues, I don't know. I think yesterday we also had that specific issue, so I'm not sure what is actually happening there. So, let's actually do that. Let's do that. Let's allow the pastor to just come back to us and see what we can do. Pastor, are you back on the line?
I'm back now.
Yeah. So you were saying that if we want to see if they know, you must do what?
Yes, I was saying that if a Christian makes a mistake,
you
will hear what people will say, what the world will see.
Okay.
Yeah, they will speak a lot of things because they know that a Christian isn't supposed to behave in such a manner.
In a particular way.
And it's different when a Muslim or a Hindu makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you realize that people know about Christ.
I see.
But they want to see the Christ whom they've heard. They want to see him in his followers.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said yesterday, we go back to Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said yesterday that it was there at Antioch that disciples were first called Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said that the one who gave them the name Christians, they didn't give themselves the name Christians. They were given by the world.
Okay.
The world gave them the name Christians because they behaved like Christ. So the world, when they saw the disciples at Antioch, the way they were loving one another, the way they were loving the community and doing all acts of kindness in the community, then the Christians, the world, the people in the community said, these.
I think we do have, I'm not sure what's happening with the pastor's line today. Okay, he's back on the line. Pastor Matambo?
Yes, I don't know what's happening today.
I'm not
sure. The devil is fighting us.
Yeah. I really don't know what is happening.
It doesn't want us to speak these good things, yes.
And these are good news, by the way, that everybody has got to hear. All right, we got lost there. That's Pastor, please go ahead.
Okay. I think I was speaking about the disciples at Antioch. When they were at Antioch, the world could witness their works, their acts of kindness, what they were doing around the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the world could say, this is true love.
Mm-hmm.
And this true love shows that they are the disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
That's when they were given the name Christians. So the world can identify if it's true love or not. They can see and they can attribute that love to Christ.
Wow. All right. Now, just look at the unbelievers. You know, they know how to treat one another with kindness, with respect, especially, you know, those whom they actually get along with. What is different about the love that we as Christians need to be expressing with our own relationships and interactions?
Okay. Where is the difference between the love that the world has with each other?
Yeah, because
what Christians?
Yeah, yeah. Because you know we are saying that the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Love for one another.
But unbelievers also do have love for one another. Are we going to say they are his disciples?
All right. I think this is where we differ. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 5.
Okay.
Yes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. I don't know if you have time to read this. Christ himself, he was speaking to his disciples. And he mentions that you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. Now, this is the which is very critical, which Christ mentions in verse 46 now.
Okay.
For if you love them which love you, this is what unbelievers do.
Mm-hmm.
They only love those who love them.
Okay.
For if you love them which love you, what reward you? So a Christian should go beyond what a non-believer can do. Non-believers can love those who love them back. But Christians should go ahead and love those who don't even love them back. And Christ says, do not even the publicans do the same, loving those who love them alone only. Are you still there, brothers?
Yeah, I'm still here, Pastor. Still here.
And on verse 47, Christ goes on to say, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? So what differs between us as Christians and those who have not yet accepted the gospel of Christ is that when they love those who love them back. But we should go beyond and love those who don't even love us. We should love even our enemies. Christ says that you should be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The standard of perfection that has been set before us is that we should love even those who don't love us. We should greet those who don't even greet us back. We should do good, not just to those who do us good, but even to our enemies. This is where it differs between a Christian and a non-Christian. I don't know if I've managed to
to answer your question. Perfectly understood. Thank you so much for that. Now, once the world has identified through our love for one another that we're disciples of Christ, what then? Are they convinced to join us? Does the world become one big happy family? What happens?
Okay. To answer you on that one, I want to direct you to the book of Acts chapter 2. In the book of Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 44, we are told that the disciples were loving one another and they were treating each other fairly. They were doing good to one another. And they had all things in common. No one personalized anything. Everything they had, they shared amongst themselves. And the world was watching them when they were doing this. The entire communities, like the Antioch, the people in Antioch, they were seeing the disciples doing these things. But the Bible tells us that the community joined them. How did they join them? we are told that the Lord added. Let me read for you in Acts chapter 2. As they continued, verse 46, as they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat and gladness with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. So God would breathe in the hearts of the people who are watching disciples loving one another. And the people started to come to the church alone. They came alone. They never had to go around preaching. You know, we do efforts, evangelistic campaigns, and so forth, so many ways to bring people to church. But when the disciples back then were simply loving one another and sharing what they had among themselves and making sure that no one is suffering and making sure that everyone is living perfectly, the Lord himself added to the church. So the church kept on growing as a result of God inspiring the hearts, moving the hearts of unbelievers to join the believers because they were doing what was right before God.
Man, it's a beautiful and quite a very huge responsibility, because it has to do with bringing souls to Christ. So little do we take this responsibility that we simply just hate on each other without seeing the huge impact that it has gospel.
On evangelism, yes, that's very true.
Now, can one be a Christian and still struggle to be loving towards others, especially your enemies?
That's very true. It's possible. I'm reminded of two sisters at one church who were having challenges to get along with each other. And Paul wrote a letter, the letter of the book of Philippians. Paul wrote in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, he was requesting some gentlemen to bring together those two ladies. They were fighting amongst themselves. But Paul says, in as much as they were fighting, they were written in the book of life. So we are speaking of Christians who are written in the book of life, but struggling to get along. They are having challenges. They are Christians. They are even in the book of life, but they are having challenges to get along. In actual words, they had become enemies. They were worshiping at the same church. The names of these two ladies was Yodia and Syntyche. You go and read them in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And Paul was writing a letter and saying, can somebody bring together those two ladies? Can somebody make sure that those ladies come to an agreement? So it's possible to be a Christian and yet struggle to love somebody. But it should not remain like that forever. If you die in that state, then you are lost. You are not going to be saved. But it's something that can happen as a Christian. It doesn't mean that the moment you have a challenge with not loving somebody, you are immediately lost. It's not like that. God gives you a time to solve your differences between yourselves and those people that are giving you problems. But if you die in that state, then there will be a problem. Then you cannot be a Christian. So you need to come to a point whereby you solve your problems with your brothers and your sisters if you are a Christian, if you are to continue as a Christian.
And there's a very serious caveat on that one that you are saying, because you are saying that if you die in that situation and no one knows the hour of death.
That's the worst mistake, that one, because we don't know when we are dying.
So which means that you just have to have a responsibility of just assuming that posture as a permanent posture. Wow. Now, we're going to be letting you go. But before that, I want to check with you. How would you then advise a Christian who is having a difficult time with this concept, you know, of loving even their enemies? Perhaps truly because of the wrongs that have been done to them, you know?
Okay. I would say that Christians are different from any other religious group of people. I don't know what others have been taught in their religions, but with Christians, we have been guided by the Bible.
Yeah.
If you have accepted Christianity, then you have to abide by what Christianity says. Christianity has got steps on how to get along with your enemies. It has got ways that you should deal with those who wrong you. For instance, Jesus himself has told us in Matthew chapter 18, if your brother has wronged you or your neighbor has wronged you, go to them. Speak to them, just the two of you. That's Matthew 18, verse 15.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it fails, get two or three people so that you can try to resolve this issue with witnesses. If it fails, there is a church where you can take that person and try to solve your issue in front of the church. Then if it fails, then Christ says, then probably the one you're dealing with is still a heathen. Now, if that person is still a heathen, you still need to witness to them, and then they become Christians. Christ has told us that you can also, you have to forgive. In Luke chapter 17, Christ says, I want to promise you that this world will be full of troubles.
Yeah,
troubles will never cease. Yeah, troubles will always come.
Yeah.
But what you should do is that you should forgive. That's what Christians have been encouraged to do. They should forgive. If I say they've been encouraged to do, I think I make a mistake. They were commanded to forgive. They should forgive. So that at the end of the day, they love one another. Remember, we've been commanded to love one another. So if you think you've got an enemy, resolve your issues with your enemy so that you love that person, because it's a commandment for you to love that person.
Yeah.
I think that's what I could advise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's a difficult one, because if then you are struggling with this concept because somebody has deeply hurt you, will you then say it follows that you are not then a Christian?
As I've once said, you if you remain in that state for long, you might lose your salvation.
Because I'm asking because other people have really suffered greatly because somebody has murdered their child, for instance. Somebody has murdered their spouse or their mother, for whatever reason. And they now get to know that this is the person who actually made sure that we remain orphans and we're poor at home because our dad was a provider, etc. And it has a ripple effect. And now you are struggling to find the kind of forgiveness that you should give, and we are saying that snap out of it and just forgive.
I would direct those people to one lady in Rwanda.
Yeah, yeah.
Her husband was killed, was slaughtered. You know the genocide that took place in Rwanda, 1994.
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
Yes. So that when that genocide took place, there's a lady who we had her husband killed by a certain boy. And when the genocide ended, those people were arrested. Those who had perpetrated the wars, they were arrested and they were taken to jail. And this lady, she somehow visited the prisons and met this boy who had killed her husband. And she started visiting this boy, bringing him clothes, bringing him food. All the prison visitations, she was the one visiting that boy until the boy was released from prison. And the lady took her in her house, to stay with this boy as a son. So that's the extent where that people can go as far as forgiving. So it's possible for one who has been hurt that way, as we have been explaining, but it's also possible to forgive.
Yeah.
We should ask God to help us to forgive such kind of people. It's possible. I want to promise you that if you fail to forgive anybody because of what they have done for you, especially that they've killed your parents, they've killed your brother or your sister, then this Rwandan lady will stand against you in judgment day. She managed to forgive. How come you did not forgive others could manage? Yes. So it's still possible, though you may struggle, but it's possible.
Yes. Oh, man. It's not an easy road. I'm remembering a song. I think it's done by the King's Heralds. It's not an easy road indeed.
It's not. It's not. That's true.
Pastor, I must thank you, man, for your time and coming through to talk to us this afternoon. Always a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much and stay blessed.
You're welcome, Brother Zama. Thank you. We meet again tomorrow. Thank you.
We meet again tomorrow, same time and same place. Thank you.
All right. Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.